Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're coming back. We're going to, we've got our doctorate, our bachelor of science level, master of science level, PhD level program. We're continuing that, but we have a fellow on, and we're going to drop the hammer further on this Silicon Valley Bank thing. I know what caused it. We didn't get into it too much the second hour, but listen, we're going to tell you just, and you probably already know, just who was behind it. We got this fellow named Chris, but his phone was kind of, it was hard for me to understand, but Chris and Nancy are going to lead us off in talking about, well, I'll put it this way. It's always Jews all the time. That should tell you what happens with the Silicon Valley Bank. But go, Chris, how you doing, fella?
Pretty good. I just got in the house. I was outside. It was windy, washing windows. Had no idea I was going to be on the air. So give me a second, James. Eddie, sorry. We covered this yesterday, Sam and I. We talked an hour and a half about this. I've got my notes. I'm just bringing them up. This is a Jewish operation from top to bottom. They pulled $42 billion out of that bank. I'm talking about the Silicon Valley Bank. I'm out of breath because I just ran home. But they pulled $42 billion out of that bank Thursday evening. The mainstream media told us that the bank run started on Friday morning. That is a lie. They precipitated this. It was orchestrated from top to bottom. And I've got the proof right here. I'm just bringing it up. Let me get that. So the Silicon Valley Bank in California, the vast majority, I can't give you a definite number, but the vast majority of those depositors, guess what? They hail mostly from Israel, or they are Israeli high-tech startup companies that are located here in the United States of America. The majority of that money, they literally pulled out of the bank. In fact, they officially closed the doors, according to bank records, at 6:40 on Friday evening. But guess what? Depositors, and only those who have the inside track, who are these Israeli startup companies, they continued to literally pull their deposits out going into that following Sunday. And this is according to Jewish newspapers. So I just brought up the information. Here's what the Times of Israel reported on Sunday. Tel Aviv, which is the Israeli stock market, shares drop as SVP, Silicon Valley Bank, triggers cash flow concerns for Israeli startups. Israeli shares dipped on Sunday. Why did they dip? Because the majority of those lenders were Israeli companies, and they let the Israeli company pull their deposits out before the rank and file American citizen was able to access their funds. And the mainstream media is not reporting this.
Another thing, Chris, and I think you talked about it.
Sir.
Like me and CW talked about last hour, the FDIC, they only secure deposits up to $250,000. But, like you pointed out, they allowed these Israeli companies, a.k.a. Jew companies, they insured every penny they had. They covered every dime these Israeli companies had. There was something like, I'm going to say 160-something altogether. And also this is key, and I'm sure you talked about it. Benjamin Netanyahu was on the horn with Janet Yellen, another good Jew who's the head of the United States Treasury. And, Zog looks out for Zog. That's what happened. Correct me. The Janet Yellen told her Jew buddy, Benjamin Netanyahu, don't worry, we're going to take care of our Jew buddies, and we let the Shabbos Goya taxpayers of the United States of America pony up. The taxpayers pay. And if they go broke, if the Shabbos Goy go broke and have to starve, to hell with it. As long as Israel makes it, that's what matters. Am I right or wrong there, fella?
100% correct. Let me read that quote that you referred to, Eddie. This is Benjamin Netanyahu. He made this statement on Sunday. If necessary, out of responsibility to Israel, high-tech companies, and employees, we will take steps to assist Israeli companies whose center of activity is in Israel to weather the cash flow crisis that has been created for them due to the turmoil. Did you hear that on CNN or Fox or ABC? Never.
No.
Okay, the Israeli finance minister, his name is, I don't know if I can pronounce this, Bezalel Smotrich. He came over, he made a special visit over here to the United States and talked to the president and obviously Janet Yellen. And that's their point person here. She,
yes.
she got on Face the Nation, let me real clear, I'll let you take, she came on Face the Nation, she said two things. Well, we're not gonna do what we did just to pacify the Christians in this nation. We're not gonna do what we did in 2008 with TARP. But then she turned around and opposed herself and said, yeah, but we're gonna take care of the depositors. She directly contradicted herself. There will be a bailout, I guarantee it.
This minister is spelled Smotrich. This is the same guy that just several weeks ago said that there was a, I don't remember the name of the village of the town in Palestine, but he said he needs to, they need to level it. They need to kill every man, woman, and child in that city. He's a not only is he a Jew, he's a gigantic, a gigantic Zionist, and he wants to kill every living thing there in Palestine that's not Jewish, and they for their greater Israel. And you know what? I mean, is that infuriating or not? This bloodthirsty, Christ-hating Jew, this minister Smotrich, S-M-O-T-R-I-C-H,
yeah.
He comes over here in the United States. They just kiss his tail, man. I mean, if people can't see that this United States of America is not just a colony of the damn Jews of Israel, they got to be totally blind. But I hope I didn't interrupt any other information you have, but you're absolutely right. Benjamin Netanyahu said he's been in touch from the very get-go with the senior Israeli tech figures. And what we could do 8 hours on this, but to back up what you said, it was a Jewish Israeli operation from the get-go. You can't get away from that. What we need to do, and I always like to go to solutions. Like I was telling CW on the first hour, we're trying to go to solutions. I really don't know what to tell the American people. I don't know anybody that does, except pray, try to extricate ourselves from the Yankee government. You know, Southern independence. It seems like an impossible chore. I don't know, but I appreciate you coming. You got anything else before we let you go, fella?
Okay, so that village that you were referring to, the Bezalel Smotrich, called the IDF, the burn down, that's called Harara. It's a Palestinian
okay, I forgot
village.
The name of the town. He surely
yes,
did.
Harara.
And they've been doing it. And they've been, you know what? And I told a Jew just the other day at the coffee shop, I didn't know he's a Jew, but I unloaded on him about the United States Ship of Liberty. He tried to tell me it was an accident. But anyway, I told him, like, and this is true, there is no Israel. There's a criminal Jewish Christ-hating cabal over there in Palestine, and they're calling themselves Israel, but they're not. It's a terrorist outlaw cabal. It's not even a nation, and they've got the United States by the gonads. And they run the United States, our United States Congress, and most of the governors, the senators, the representatives. They're nothing but a bunch of Shabbos goy whores for Israel. And they have no honor. They can't be embarrassed. I mean, I spit on these people, and we have no hope but to get ourselves, to extricate ourselves from this damn Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we tried it once before in 1860, but at least we tried. Well,
right.
Fella, I guess we're going to let you go. We're getting ready to go to get to a break in a second. I really appreciate you coming on. You kind of saved me. We were going to cover that in depth next week, but I'm glad we did it now. And I was going to bring it up on the second hour, but I'm glad you brought that up. I really am. It's just infuriating. I almost lose my ability to talk. I get so wound up. But I really appreciate that, fella.
Eddie.
I certainly do. And
let me tell you something, Eddie. James made me an honorable Southerner, so I'm with you. If I were to go back in the 150 years and fight in the Civil War, I know what side I would fight on now. It would be the side of the South, because that was the side that was right.
Yes, sir.
And I'm a northerner, by the way.
Well, so you know what? I always said, you know what? Southern is a state of mind a lot because I know people, some of our biggest supporters are north of the Mason-Dixon line. For instance, Frank Hawat, way north of the Mason-Dixon line, and he loves the South. The people up there, his group, they just revere the South, what it used to be. But here in Memphis, Tennessee, where I live, we have more cucked out, self-hating whites than you have probably in New York. I mean, it's just pitiful. But I appreciate that so much, fella. We're getting ready to go to our first break. Then we've got to bring Sister Nancy and Brother Gene, the Bitter Ender, because we've got our college program going on white / Confederate History Month. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, sir. Keep up the good work, Eddie, and everybody else there. We appreciate it. I listen to you every Saturday.
Well, thank you so much. You'll have to call in again.
I will. I'll be a regular caller if you'd like.
I'd love that.
I do Sam too. Listen, Sam and I, we do the show together every Saturday morning. So we're 1,000% behind your cause.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I think old Sam kind of loves old Paw. You know what? Me and Sam, we belong to the Mutual Admiration Society. But I talked to him today. I had a nice conversation with Sam today. Me and Sam and Jay, and we got something planned in July. We're going up to South Carolina. But people, I think I hear the music for the first break, and when we come back, we're going. As my time is over, it's going to be Sister Nancy and my brother Gene, the Bitter Ender, Andrew. Be right back, folks.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadour Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, that was kind of unrehearsed. He was covering some of the stuff we were going to cover next week because we had CWM, the intellectuals, et cetera, et cetera. We were going to come down and do our and a lot of other stuff with the Silicon Valley Bank. But right now we're going back to my big sister Nancy Hitt and my little brother. We're about the same age. Gene, the Bitter Ender Andrews. Gene, you're the only one we hadn't heard from yet. What's going on, fella?
Well, doing okay. I thought what we could do, want to turn the program over to Nancy. She's got quite a few items she wants to bring up. I would like to do, if we can get one segment in here, a book review. I've started reading and just about finished it. Give sort of a preview out to our audience. It's by Liz Collin, and her book is They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and the Death of George Floyd. And reading that and what a set-up deal that was to exonerate a criminal. That's all George Floyd was. He had to get out of Houston, wound up in Minneapolis, and the way this thing was set up to hang those four police officers, the mayor, the police chief, the governor of Minnesota, and the district attorney, or the attorney general, it was a setup just to sacrificial lambs to appease a bunch of mob thugs out there. And it is a real eye-opener. So we'll turn it on over to Nancy, go ahead with what she had lined up before we had the first segment, and I'll give you a little bit of information on this book that my brother-in-law, my wife's brother in Minneapolis, sent to me. And they had to go through all of that and watch their city burn down and torn to pieces. They don't live in Minneapolis, but out in the suburb. And they had to go through that. And this lady has come out with this book, and it's documented. Every page has got footnotes on it and tells exactly how they double-crossed those policemen and just made sacrificial lambs out of them to appease this mob of animals, and it didn't do any good. They still burned down the third police precinct. The towns in Minneapolis Damn. Destroyed businesses, and they just let it go. So we'll do that
Gene,
later.
I can't wait to that book review. And before we go to Nancy, I can tell you one thing. I guess it was about 2 years ago. You know how time flies. I'm always talking about running over to this Shelby Farm Park. It's the largest urban park in the United States, larger than Central Park. And I saw these two people. They were from Minnesota. And it was when all this crap was going on. And they were saying, you don't wear a mask. And he said, you're saying things. Man, if you were to say the stuff you're saying right here, they would burn your house down. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, it's so bad up there. They were coming down here because all hell was breaking loose up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Chicago. And they said, they were talking about all the conservatives that back up these feral black animals for burning the city down. I said, I tell you what, it's going to be a different tune. They'll be singing a different tune when they come and burn their house down. And they said, oh, no, that's already happening. Some of their houses are already being burned down. And when you ask them about it, they say, well, we deserved it. Our house needed to be burnt down because of our white privilege. And the blacks have suffered for so long. They are absolutely that warped. And they said, before I go to Nancy, they said if you had, and I'm no fan of Trump, but they said if you have a Trump sign in your yard or any kind of conservative sign, you don't dare do that. But she said those people around there would burn your house down. Yeah, so I can't wait for your book review, Gene.
No, that's what my brother-in-law said. That now they don't live in Minneapolis. They live out in a suburb town out near Lake Minnetonka, that big lake up there. So they don't live in town, but their friends keep asking them, oh, let's go to this restaurant, or let's go to this restaurant. Let's go. They said, no way. We're not going into Minneapolis right now. Now, this is now, 2023. Said, we're not going in there. Said, when you go in there and park, and you get valet parking, when you come out and you get your car after it's been valet parked, the person that valet parked it will tell you, do not stop at a red light. Don't stop. You slow down and you look and see if anybody's coming from left or right, but you get through that red light and don't you dare stop there. They'll hijack your car. So that's what Minneapolis has become. So,
wow, that sounds as bad or worse than Memphis. Memphis is horrible. People, you know what? People are dragging, they're starting to drag people out of their car in broad daylight. They're abducting women in broad daylight. Yep. There was a case in the best part of Memphis, the best part of Shelby County. They call it Germantown, right in the heart of the whitest part of Shelby County. And they abducted the woman right under the friggin' police cam. And they don't care because, know what? You never hear of anybody being arrested.
Nothing will happen to them. Nothing will happen to
it. I mean, absolutely nothing at all. Well, I guess we all shift over to Nancy. Tell us about these tar and feathers and stuff that you got going.
Oh, I got a list. I'm just going to outline this because we're not going to have time to cover any of this. But first of all, I'm going to say this week we need to tar and feather that no good Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. He's a warmonger. He wants us to get into war with Russia. This is absolutely outrageous. Today, I listened to a video by Scott Ritter. He goes way back, I think, to the conflict with Iraq. What was interesting, I guess he's been in the military and he knows a lot about the military activities. And he was saying this action that they keep repeating about the Russians had thrown out petrol on this U.S. drone and actually had run into the drone and damaged the rudder. He said that was probably not done by contact, but because of this petrol being thrown out, probably damaged the rudder. And he said that this was, you know, this is again basically illegal activity by the U.S. spying on Russia, and that spraying out of petrol was common in the past, but I guess this was a way of warning on 19 passes, warning this American drone to get out of the way and stop spying on Russian territory. At any rate, one of the things that just came up, Horst Mahler, he's a German who's been convicted in the past of revisionist statements. He actually has had at least one leg amputated. Maybe he's had two surgeries on that leg. He spent several years in prison in Germany, and he's only been out about a year. He's 87 years old, and they are going to send him back for 4.5 years. He is going to die in prison for his bad thinking. Today, I received a letter from Scotland from another imprisoned man who is a French revisionist, Vincent Renard. And I don't have time to read the letter, but he clarifies in the letter how the French are trying to get him repatriated or sent back from UK to France illegally by stating that he was not a revisionist, but a racist, because in UK, being a revisionist is not actually illegal, but being a racist would be considered a crime. So there, the French are using dirty tactics to try to get him extradited back to France, and the Jews, of course, are behind this. I wanted to mention, back to this study that we're doing on the Confederacy. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention, a couple days ago, downtown Louisville, a white guy gets attacked in right downtown in the park right across from the courthouse by a black with a hammer. How beautiful, how lovely. This is Louisville, the way we're living today. Monica got a great coverage in the Barnes Review, wonderful coverage about her book and her life, and it was in this issue of the Barnes Review. I wanted to go back to the beginning of the Civil War, the war for Southern independence, because we've really not taken it chronologically. But for people who are really maybe listening to what we're saying, I just want to give a comment on a couple of the battles. The first major battle was the Battle of First Manassas. That was July the 21st of 1861. It was a rout by the Confederacy under General P.T. Beauregard, partly due to the spying efforts of widow Rose Greenough. In a book that I received actually from a friend overseas, I had read about Rose Greenough, knew who she was. She was quite active during the war, a pro-Southerner. She actually has a daughter who married into a family before the war, a well-to-do family in Indiana. So her daughter and I think her granddaughter have been to the site in Madison, Indiana, which is right across the Ohio from where I live. And what is an interesting fact, too, is the Yankees called these battles sometimes different names. For example, the Battle of First Manassas, they named it after the stream or the river, and they call it the Battle of Bull Run. Now, the second Battle of Manassas, which was about a year later, August 28th through the 31st of 1862, was another Confederate victory. So Manassas was southwest of Washington.
Sister Nancy, you probably hear the music. We got to go to our break, and we'll be right back after this break.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Former President Trump is citing illegal leaks for indicating he will be arrested Tuesday. In a post today on his Truth Social platform, Trump urged supporters to protest what he predicts will be a criminal indictment by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. It's all about a hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy called the potential indictment an outrageous abuse of power by a radical DA. Lower prices are coming for the Easter holiday.
Walmart said today it would offer Easter meals and bundles at affordable prices, a move aimed at drawing more customers to their stores at a time when egg prices have surged and customers are keeping a tight grip on their wallets. This year, Walmart's Easter meals and baskets will include staples like ham, green beans, and cherry pies, along with decorative grass, Hershey's milk chocolate bunnies, and Reese's eggs for less than $100 both online and in stores. Data from the Labor Department showed the average cost of food for families rose by 11.3% in January. I'm Skip Kelly.
Wyoming is the first state in the country to ban abortion pills. The bill signed Friday by Republican Governor Mark Gordon outlaws the prescription, distribution, sale, or use of any drug for the purpose of procuring or performing an abortion on any person. The measure will take effect on July 1st. It does make for exceptions for rape, incest, or if the mother's life is in danger. Los Angeles Unified School District officials are making a last-ditch effort to avoid a three-day strike that would shut down schools in the nation's second-largest school district next week. The district asked state labor regulators to issue an injunction district leaders say is illegal.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
Paramount Plus and Nickelodeon Studios are working on a sequel to the iconic 90s movie Good Burger. Original stars Kenan Thompson and Kel Mitchell made the announcement on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon on Friday. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River family, thank you for hanging on. We're going to go right back to Sister Nancy. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Okay, Eddie, I think we wanted to bring up a couple things about to follow up on the Battle of Franklin. I just want to give one quote. I've got several quotes here I printed off by Patrick Claiborne. And this one certainly rings a bell for what has happened and what's happening really today, I guess. Surrender means that the history of this heroic struggle will be written by the enemy, that our youth will be trained by Northern school teachers, will learn from Northern school books their version of the war, will be impressed by all the influences of history and education to regard our gallant dead as traitors and our maimed veterans as fit subjects for derision.
Well, he nailed that, didn't he?
It's come to pass, hasn't it?
Yeah. I tell you what, one thing about the Confederate leadership that you've got to admit, they were outstanding prophets, because that quote you read from General Claiborne has come true down to the last detail, unfortunately. And Robert E. Lee was a prophet. He said if those people... And he never called them Yankees or worthless SOBs or the things I use, but he was a gentleman. I am not. He said, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. And there's General Claiborne and General Lee as prophets and told exactly what has happened to this country with the defeat of the South and the defeat of the last Christian part of this country that actually understood why the Constitution was written and what it stood for. So the communists, the atheists, the whatever you want to call the government in Washington, I think we can, there are a lot of other names, so we can't use them on the air, but that has taken over and completely destroyed the concept of America as it was given to us with the Constitution in 1789. It's dead. It's gone.
And there's no forgiving. There's no forgiving our men. For example, I've written this down. Of course, under this, with the American battle for empire and what they call the American-Spanish Civil War, Spanish-American War, which is nothing but a battle for empire, we have three Confederates who either volunteered or served under the Yankee flag, but they were never able to be forgiven. One is Colonel John S. Mosby. At the age of 64, he offered to raise a battalion. Of course, it was denied at that age. John B. Castleman, who was from here in Louisville, he not only fought in the Spanish-American War, but he became the governor of Puerto Rico. And Joe Wheeler also was engaged in the battle down in Cuba. Okay, they are, you know, the Castleman statue has been removed from Louisville, so nothing you could do would ever wipe that filth of being in the Confederacy and being a traitor. You could never wash that off of you, even if you fought for these Yankees in another war.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Right. And Joe Wheeler was one of the few people in American military history that held the rank of general in the Confederate Army and the rank of general in the U.S. Army. So he was given a large command. It landed in Cuba. And actually, it was Wheeler's men that made the charge up San Juan Hill there. Of course, Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders got all the credit for it. But it was actually Wheeler's men that captured that position. And so the story goes, when they started the charge, he was getting all, they were coming under fire and they were launching this assault. And he yelled out to his men, "Come on, boys, get those damn Yankees. I mean, Spaniards."
I know Wheeler, and I mean, Forrest didn't like Wheeler. I think they were at odds because, of course, Wheeler was from a well-trained, I guess he was
botched attack at training. Dover in the winter of 63. Yeah. That's why they really had a falling out.
What the thing of it is, people don't realize in the invasion of the South, which is Sherman took over about 60-mile swath of the South, going from Atlanta across to Savannah, the only people who were really the only forces that were engaged with Sherman, because I guess under Hood they'd gone north, was Joe Wheeler and Forrest. They were the only two small forces that even were able to engage Sherman and this massive number of men who were destroying the South.
Yeah, that was it. That was about all that was left. And then they called Forrest back. Forrest had taken out the supply depot at Johnsonville, and that was what was supplying Sherman. And then they called him to come south down the west bank of the Tennessee River and across Alabama and pick up Hood's army as they were crossing at Florence and heading back into Tennessee to try to liberate Nashville. So he was thrown out in front of Hood's army in Tennessee, and that was his assignment till the end of that campaign. After the Battle of Nashville, the disaster there, then they called on Forrest to save the Army of Tennessee, or what was left of it, and provide the rear guard. So then they didn't think he was good enough to have a large command because he didn't go to West Point. But every time the Confederate Army got in trouble, they called on Forrest to bail them out. So much for West Point. And West Point, you know, they're so proud now. They've taken down everything at West Point refers to Robert E. Lee, who was commandant of West Point
at
one time.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not. At some point, maybe the next, at some break, I might read this other thing. But this is kind of short. It's from Kentucky Cavaliers and Dixie. Again, it's going to explain to listeners. Maybe they'll understand this. Who can question the patriotism of those heroic Confederate soldiers? To fame and fortune unknown, no pay, no bounty, scant clothing and little food. exposed to the bitter cold and to every danger, they unhesitatingly performed any required duty, marched almost continuously, and fought desperately. The record of their marches was written in blood from their shoeless feet along the roads of the valley and the other highways of the South. The milestones were battlefields and graves. And how can we ignore these men? How can we despise these men?
Because that's what the government of this country wants to do, because they were men. I mean, real men. And you mentioned Rose Greenhow. There were a lot of women that served for the Confederacy, and she ran a spy operation out of her house in Washington, D.C. Her husband was in politics, and she was friends with President Buchanan and a lot of the people in Washington. So she knew everybody in Washington, D.C. before the war, and they would have dinners and events at their home. So then when the war came along, prior to the war, her husband died. He was on a diplomatic mission out to San Francisco and ironically stepped on a board that hit him in the leg, and he got infected, and he died from that, a board on a sidewalk. And so she was a widow and living there, and she was sending information out to the Confederacy. They had an army over at Harper's Ferry, and they had one close to Manassas. But they didn't know where the Yankee army was coming, whether it was going to swing west and come down the Shenandoah Valley through Harper's Ferry, or whether it was going to come on a straight line from Washington down to Richmond. So she was the one that found out they're throwing everything they have on a straight line from Washington, D.C. to Richmond. And so that's when she sent word to the Confederates of where this attack was coming. They pulled their troops out of the Shenandoah Valley, Thomas Jackson, he hadn't gotten the nickname Stonewall yet, but his brigade came over the mountains and were thrown into the fight there at Manassas. And she was the one really that gave the Confederates the information to concentrate your forces at Manassas Junction, a railroad junction. It was important. That's why they were looking at that. And bring them out of the Shenandoah Valley and bring them here. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know that she and her youngest daughter were put in prison in the old Capitol building.
Old Capitol prison.
One of the things that I have not been able to prove yet, I know that the Yankees imprisoned many women. A lot of them they were in prison out in Missouri. That's some that I'm sure of. But I want proof that any Yankee women were imprisoned by the Confederates. I haven't seen it yet.
I've never heard of any of that. Not a bit. Now, they thought she was sending information, and they put a female prison guard matron in her house to keep an eye on her. And so what she would do when her agents would walk up and down the sidewalk close to her house, they had signals. If she was standing at the window with her left hand up against her cheek or something, that meant one thing. If she was standing at the window with her arms crossed, that meant something else. So she was sending signals out to these Confederate agents, special ops that were working out of D.C. So the Yankees figured out she was doing it, and that's when they threw her into Old Capitol Prison. And they didn't have a women's section. They grabbed her and literally threw her through the door into this open courtyard of filth and mud and human excrement and where they were holding the Confederate prisoners. And they thought, oh, man, we've thrown this woman in here. These guys will attack her, and they'll just rip her clothes off. It'll be so much fun to watch. And so she got thrown in there, and they slammed the door, and they're peeping through the bars to see what's going to happen to her. All the Confederates stood up and took their hats off and gave her whatever little
food they had. That's this break. Got to take a quick break. Y'all be right back.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Well, God bless you, Blood River Radio family. And one family member I'm thinking of tonight, I've got to mention him again. Good old Dennis. Dennis in Virginia. I talked to him today, and he, I'll tell you what, and rightfully so, he just loves Sister Nancy and Brother Gene so much. He really loves our third hour here, and I hope he's listening in right now. If you are, Dennis, I love you, little brother. You're like a little brother to me. And anyway, with that, we're going back to the Bitter Ender, and I think he's got a book review. So go
yes.
ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, I want to bring up one thing that Nancy was talking about during the break. We were talking about the comparison between the Union and Confederate officers and how Lee and Claiborne were such prophets in telling what was going to happen to them if the low-class people we were fighting against won this war. And she brought up a point of Joseph Hooker, who was commander of the Yankee Army at Chancellorsville, and he got a rather sordid reputation. He was considered himself quite a general, Fighting Joe Hooker. He gave himself that nickname. And but the nickname that stuck with him because of his say late night antics were the women he was hanging out with were referred to as Hooker's women, and down through the years they dropped the women part off and just said hookers for prostitutes. So that's a great military title to hang on you. That the slang term for prostitutes are hookers, and it came from Hooker's women and Joseph Hooker. That was commander of the Yankee Army at Chancellorsville. And then he was relieved, and George Meade replaced him. Actually, Hooker got relieved while the Yankee Army was marching north, trying to catch up with Lee that already crossed the Potomac. They were headed up into Pennsylvania. And then Meade took over and, of course, fought the Battle of Gettysburg. And Hooker, that's what they do with all their generals when they bust out in the East. They kick them out here in the West. He was at the battle of around Chattanooga. And then Hooker was the one that ran his troops into a trap at Ringo Gap that Claiborne set for him on the road that goes through. And even today on Interstate 24, that's a narrow cut right through those mountains right there at Ringo, Georgia. And Claiborne was waiting for him up on that ridge, and they suckered him right into that valley and just mowed him out. So anyway, okay, we were talking about
Gene,
a book, and
maybe he was maybe by that time in the war, maybe we might not should blame him because he might have had been blind, because you know when you get syphilis that you get blind from that, so maybe that's what caused it.
They sure didn't sing the Confederates at Ringo Gap till he got into the killing zone.
And we'll get him the benefit of the doubt.
An ambush, they talk about a killing zone. He was flat out in that, so yeah. two books, really. You know, thank you for bringing that up, the article they had in the Barnes Review. And all of our listeners really need to subscribe to the Barnes Review. If you want to find out what's going on about how Israel is screwing us over and screwing our history and giving the shaft to us on just about everything, they will have plenty of articles in there to back that up. And they're one of the few places where you can order these banned books that Amazon won't carry and all of these other online places will not carry, because these books tell the truth. And they have an article in there, this issue, about Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, about Monica Schaefer and what she went through in Germany and the lies and misinformation that they used against her. And then the same thing, I'll bring that up to carry this over to this book by Liz Collin, entitled They're Lying, The Media, The Left, and the Death of George Floyd. And what happened to her and her husband in Minneapolis. And she was a TV investigative reporter. And all of this stuff that started happening after George Floyd, they tried to arrest him and he died. And they even have a copy in this book of the original coroner's report. He died from a drug overdose. And they said that police officer, Derek Chauvin, that had a knee on the side of his neck. He didn't have a knee on his thorax or his esophagus or anything on the front of the neck. That's the way they held him down, was on the side of his neck. And you could have an elephant standing on the side of your neck and you could still breathe. It's not fatal. But they had that video that somebody shot from the sidewalk, and that went viral on the news media and everything. This worthless police chief, Arredondo, sounds Hispanic, but it was a black police chief, another disaster, having blacks in charge of anything in a city. But he fired those four officers without any hearing, without any due process, without going before the police board, anything at all. He just immediately fired them because that video had gone viral of George Floyd, the criminal. And the mayor, Jacob, and I don't know how you pronounce it, F-R-E-Y, Free or Frey, however, he just turned his back on the police department, and he let them hang out there, as did the attorney general in Minneapolis, Keith Ellison, who's a black and had his picture all over the internet with him holding up a book supporting Antifa. Now, that's a good person to have defending your city. And then, of course, they brought in this additional race-hustling pimp, this Bruce Crump, that takes all of these cases where a black is attacking a police officer or someone, winds up getting killed, and then he calls out the mob to tip the jury or the justice system in the favor of one of these criminals. And Nancy, he was there in Louisville for that. What was that woman that got shot by
Breonna,
the police?
Oh, Breonna Taylor. My goodness,
that's it,
they're still crying about that. And you know, the family got millions of dollars.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And she was in the middle of a drug dealer, boyfriend or sleep-in friend or whoever it was, mm-hmm. was a drug dealer, and she stepped right into the middle of a gun battle when he opened up fire on the police. So anyway, this book really lays it open about what a criminal activity the city and the state of Minnesota pulled off in basically just hanging these four police officers and blaming them for what was a criminal activity by this George Floyd. And so that was kind of the same thing. This Liz Collin, her friends turned against her. She lost her job with the TV station. The mob was, of course, they gave out her home address and her husband's home address. And the mob was out there threatening her. They were sending her notices saying, if you go to get your mail, your mailbox is going to explode. We're going to kill you. All this stuff like that. But that's basically what was happening to Monica, that all of her friends up there in Canada turned against her, the business she was working for. They just turned their back on her because they didn't like what she said. And they turned their backs on this lady, this Liz Collin, because she printed the truth about what actually happened and printed the coroner's report and printed what had happened to the policeman. And they talked about the racist police. There were four policemen, two of them were white, one of them was black, and one of them was a Vietnamese Hmong, like the Montagnards. And so they were kind of half white and half other races. But, yeah, they called it racism because of George Floyd was black and died of a drug overdose in police custody. So it just goes to show you how rotten and corrupt our judicial system is in this country. It is in Germany and what they did to Monica Schaefer. It was in Canada of how they singled her out and turned against her in Canada, where, you know, they're trying to enact more and more of these hate thought laws that if you don't agree with the official story of what happened, then you're the criminal. Not a criminal like George Floyd, but people that report the truth are the criminals. And especially when you have a judicial system and a governmental system that's run by a bunch of blacks. You're asking for trouble. And I have to go back to Governor George Wallace of Alabama. And he's another prophet, another Southern prophet. He said this was going to happen to our cities if they put in these government-forced integration and forced voting laws that allow low IQ, unintelligent people to take over our governments, that it will destroy our cities. And once again, he called the shots on what has happened and what is going on. So two really good books. And like I said, Monica's book you can get through the Barnes Review. And it will really anger you in seeing what a national government like Germany and Canada have done to someone who tried to speak the truth and say honestly what was happening. But the government of Germany and Canada, and Eddie's mentioned this before, they're controlled out of Tel Aviv in Israel, and they control their government and they control our government. That you'd mentioned Benjamin Netanyahu several years ago. He made a speech before their Knesset or parliament, whatever they call it over there in Israel. And he said, don't worry about the United States Congress. We own the U.S. Congress. And not one single person in the United States Congress, not a senator, not a member of the House of Representatives, not a single one of them stood up and said, well, you don't own me, buddy boy. Not one of them would stand up against that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they do own our Congress, and they do their bidding. Whatever Israel tells them to do, they crawl on their hands and knees and kiss whatever Israeli rear end is stuck out in front of them, and they will bow down and kiss their rear end for them because they're paying for it. So, and it was interesting. Absolutely. I hadn't heard all the information about that the bank out there in California that went under, the Silicon Valley Bank, but you know, I'm not surprised now to hear that the Israelis pulled all their money out 2 days before the bank collapsed. So,
well, you know,
that's insider information. Yeah, they had the inside scoop. And, you know, right. Janet Yellen, a good Jew, who she is the head of the United States Treasury, she was on the horn with Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, it's just, Gene, I don't know, and Nancy, I don't know why people cannot see that. Our good Southern Baptist friends, why can't they see that? I mean,
because they're scared, right. Eddie. Because if they say it, the same thing will happen to him, to them, that happened to Monica and happened to this lady in Minneapolis that wrote the truth about this George Floyd nonsense that went on there, and what a corrupt legal system we have in this country. Because if you look at what happens, they never will argue with somebody like Monica or anybody else that questions the Holocaust. They won't come back with facts. They will automatically smear that person and say they're a Holocaust denier, they're anti-Semitic, they're this, they're that, and they've got that long list of names they slap on that person. Never once do they come up with factual information to refute what somebody like Monica or any of these other people say. It's character assassination. That's all they have to do.
They really don't have to come up with any facts. All they have to do is say, That is anti-Semitic, and that's racist, and that is really bad. That's the dirtiest word in the English dictionary.
And the ball game's over right there.
We've come to the complete end of the hour, and I would like to put this out to back up what you said, Gene, and what you said, Nancy. We have a standing invitation out for the SPLC Jew Bastards. If you want to come on to this show anytime and debate us, my God, we're ready. We can debate you here, or like my invitation is also out, we can debate you in any alley in South Memphis. That's why I would prefer it. Come on to this show sometime.
Is the tar still hot?
Yeah, I think it is. Well, people, we come to the complete end of the hour. Thank you for holding up. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, little Liz. And thank you, Jay, for coming on earlier. Thank you, Blood River Radio audience. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.